Wintrust Business Lunch. Tom Fortino joins us once again. Hi, Tom.
Well, hello, John. How you doing?
Pretty good. You hear Tom Sunday mornings on WGN, part of the Alpha Wealth Hour. And I'm just wondering what you think about how the economy, or let's just first start talking about the markets here.
Mm-hmm.
The markets have been down and up and down. What's your read on things right now, Tom?
Well, you know, what a difference a day makes. Go back just a few days and things look like it was, you know, worst NASDAQ performance since 2022, a one-day drop and the Dow and all this, and all of a sudden here we are today. So, I mean, maybe there's a lesson to be taken from this, you know, even if it's in a short period of time, about, you know, how we react to these things that happen in the market. So patience and having the right, you know, we're seeing a rotation in the market, I think. We'll see if it continues to small caps and value stocks. And so, I mean, the numbers are, you know, GDP and PC came out this week. Those are all good numbers. Doesn't mean underneath there's some concerns. But right now, again, the market, it's bouncing back. We'll see where it goes from here. But right now, things look pretty good for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Yesterday we heard the phrase, rotation, and
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, that means that people are selling some things and putting money into other things,
mm-hmm.
and so some stocks rotate out of favor and others in.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying generally that's a good thing. Is it a good thing in this case, Tom, when some of the big high-tech stocks seem to be out of favor?
You know, it's a good thing, I think, to a certain extent when we say it's a broad market. When you try to, you know, how many participants in this market? When you take a look, I think six stocks represent 30% of the S&P. Eight stocks represent 50% of the NASDAQ, which is more tech-heavy, of course. But you say, okay, obviously six stocks out of 500, there's something going on here. Now, I think that was a little overdone, but when there's more broad participation, and this is just not uncommon, right? Because, you know, the tech, and I still doesn't mean we abandon tech, but, you know, it just, there's these reversions to the mean. There's many times there's overreaction on the upside. There's overreaction on the downside. And so eventually some of these things come into play where now they're going to participate in the market, like the small
yeah.
caps, which have languished.
Well, I like the idea of the small caps or other stocks participating at a greater level, because I also have no doubt that the NVIDIAs and Metas of the world, et cetera, aren't going anywhere. They,
correct.
You know, they will retain value. But if other stocks participate, well, that just gives me more confidence in my ability to retire someday, Tom.
I would agree with that. These are good signs. And I would say one other comment, you know, you're making the comment on Meta and these other NVIDIA and saying they're not going away. Maybe you could look at some of these things where there are these pullbacks where you can say, hey, maybe I'm going to buy some of these things at this point. That's something I would say to be as a piece of the portfolio. Always be cautious. You know, you want to still have your core portfolio. But, you know, if you look at CrowdStrike, which went from 391 to 255, these are not recommendations. But, you know, or Microsoft, which was at almost 470, 428. Is there an opportunity to say, look, 5 years down the road, I'm pretty confident these are going to be higher. I'm going to buy some of these.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, I'm going to put it in a Roth, so it's all tax-free.
Yeah, that's not surprising to hear you say that. I know you champion that, and why wouldn't you? Incidentally,
mm-hmm.
maybe I like Tesla for that reason.
Yeah.
If the infrastructure isn't ready to support electric cars, that will come. Tesla sure did take it in the shorts this week. I wonder if that's a good buy. I know you can't recommend a stock on the radio, but that sort of thinking is not so crazy, is it?
It is not. In fact, that's some very good thinking. And, you know, Tesla was higher than it is now. It's not even back to where it was. So is there still some upside there? There's other things obviously that are involved. And I think Elon Musk said they're going to be shipping humanoid robots in 2026. So
yeah.
There you go.
Well, he's always, you know, He had a McDonald's on Mars by now too, and that hasn't happened either.
Okay.
But he's ambitious and he's brilliant. So I'll give you all of that. But you know, all of this talk about individual equities like that, or even sectors, I don't think most of us, Tom, are in that game. Mostly, mm-hmm. we're just putting money mm-hmm. in some age-related fund that was recommended to us by somebody like you, or maybe a website. And we're hoping that it grows. And I think that's why sometimes I'm almost more interested in the economy in general or the trends mm-hmm. in general. You understand that, right?
I agree, yes. It's the trader versus the investor. And so you have to differentiate or discern between the two. When we're talking about trading a stock or having one individual stock versus a sector versus the overall market, right? So you could buy... whatever it might be, Microsoft, that's one stock, or you could buy the technology sector, which is an ETF, so now I have just the sector, or you could buy the whole market, there's more risk, so I agree with that, but the average investor is going to own the indexes, own funds, so that's really the way to go, and then maybe on the periphery, you buy some of these stocks.
Tom Fortino is the founder and principal at the Alpha Wealth Group, and he's the host of the Alpha Wealth Hour, WGN Radio, Sunday morning, 7 a.m. Maybe two now rate cuts, Tom, for the Fed. What do you think about that?
Well, I know I've been sticking with one or maybe under two. So I think September they said there's an 88% chance. I'll go with... I have one or two. Those are my options.
Well, I had the line at two, at 1.5, and I think you took one. But now I've moved it up to two, so I need you to be, I guess, that doesn't make, well, then you put it this way, one, two, or three rate cuts this year.
The most I can go is two.
Yeah. And what do you think about that? I mean, suppose it's just one. Would there be any dire consequences as a result of that if the Fed was still a little skittish?
Well, I think you made the comment a few times about here's the good news is, hey, they're reducing rates. That means the economy's not doing so well. That's the bad news.
Yeah.
And, I think when you look at things, like home prices, they just came out, median home prices, I think were $421,000 was the median home price. They keep hitting highs, even though, the inventory, the sales, it's just really distorted right now. Auto sales, you saw this week with Ford and Stellantis and GM, issues there because these rates, the mortgage rate hasn't been below 6% since August of 22. And so, those types of things, I think, are going to add some pressure to them making some moves as well, because those are huge segments of the economy and are big drivers. And so that's why I'm leaning towards making some adjustments because, and on top of all the debt that's out there too. So,
well, I wanted to get to that too, but I mean, you said is making you think about making some adjustments. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean the Fed bringing rates down a little bit to kind of, it's that old, the fire hose has that, is just full right now. And how do you get it? The pressure, there's so much pressure there as it relates to these parts of the industry, the auto industry, the home buildings, builders. And so I just think they just needs to be some relief there. Right.
Yeah. The two things that would keep me awake at night were I had to try and stay awake at night would be the total amount of debt that Americans are carrying. And I just wonder if, there's going to be some serious consequence that, what do I know about the economy and the world, but that I haven't anticipated. If at some point that thing is just going to bust and there'll be dire consequences. The debt that the country is carrying and individual consumers are carrying. And then the other thing I wonder about and worry about were I to have the time would be AI. I wonder if so much we're banking on that. Hopefully all of the peripheral industries around the chips and artificial intelligence are going to benefit from this. But mm-hmm. maybe like the dot-com bubble, they're going to say that was a thing that never came to fruition. What do you make about either of those concerns of mine?
Well, the debt, certainly. I mean, with credit card debt, we've talked about this a number of times, well over $1 trillion. Delinquencies are, I think, the highest they've been since 2012. You know, you look at all of these federal debt, of course, now it's at $35 trillion for the most part. We go on and on and on. So, of course, I agree wholeheartedly with those, and we haven't even touched commercial real estate. And so those are areas that are a concern. And so the question is, what do you do? The answer, I think, besides maybe bringing down some rates, but being able to service some of this debt, I think it's also growth in the economy. You know, if you're growing and you're able to, that makes a big difference. I'm hoping there's going to be some adjustments here where we can get this economy to grow. That solves a lot of problems.
The economy isn't growing, Tom? I thought that it was, in fact, doing pretty well.
Well, GDP did come out this week, so fair enough. Yeah, it was at 2.8%. It was, 1.4 last quarter. Some would argue those are, I don't know about those numbers, they're a little questionable. And the other thing, too, is great deal of that may be coming from government spending. And so those are, again, some of these concerns. Unfortunately, none of us can predict the future, but certainly those are areas of genuine and, I think, realistic concern.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think about the AI thing? Is that for real? Are there going to be sufficient peripheral, you know, beneficiaries of AI that really is going to boost the economy? Say the way it was compared, I think Craig Bolano said the other day, it's sort of like when cell phones or laptop computers came in and changed everything. Is AI for real?
I think it's for real. I mean, some of that stuff, the technology gets to a level where, you know, it's hard to grasp and get your arms around some of the things that it can do. But certainly it has a lot of, you know, we talk about productivity, and then productivity leads to this whole growth part, lower costs, and back to this whole debt thing we talked about. So I think it's going to be dramatic, and I think it's going to, you know, years from now we're going to look back, it's going to have a huge impact on this economy and our life.
Invest wisely then. Tom Fortino, the founder and principal at the Alpha Wealth Group, and you hear him Sunday mornings talk specifically about strategies for your money and your retirement, your investing, your tax management. That's Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. on WGN. AlphaWealthGroup.com is the website. Nice to talk to you today, Tom.
Yeah, always a pleasure to talk to you, John. You have a great weekend.
Maybe a good day to travel to Chicagoland. Heather Larson is here, president and CEO of Meet Chicago Northwest. And the topic is bleisure, which is a phrase I haven't heard before. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Am I pronouncing that correctly? Bleisure?
Exactly. It is a combination of business and leisure travel.
Which, yeah, you know, I've never heard that word. You may have invented it, but I understand the concept, but tell me a little bit about what it is, and then why does it relate to the Chicago area?
Well, it's definitely gaining steam. Bleisure has existed for a while. I did not invent the term. It's it's an international trend. We're seeing business travelers state that they volunteer more frequently for business trips where they can, to the tune of about 79%, when they're able to add a day before or a couple of days before their business trip is technically supposed to begin, the conference or whatever it is that they're traveling for, or maybe they add a couple days on the back end and enjoy the destination that they're visiting for the conference or the sales mission, whatever it is that they're visiting for.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I often, you know, the first thing that came to my mind was the spouse tagging along with the person. I presume that's part of the equation, huh?
Oftentimes it is, absolutely. 3 out of 5 bleisure travelers actually have kids at home. So sometimes what you'll see, especially in our destination in the northwest suburbs of Chicago, we've got a lot of family-friendly attractions for them to take advantage of. So they can come in a day or two early with the spouse. Now, their flight is paid for, and the hotel will be paid for when the conference begins. So it probably have to pay out of pocket for that first day or the day after. But usually you're getting a little bit of a discounted rate with the conference rate. So they can go to Woodfield Mall, they can go to Medieval Times and enjoy some of those attractions, and then send them on their way back home when that conference starts. Or they could stay the entire time, and then you just catch up with them in the evenings.
Right. So then some of the shopping areas in Chicago or some of the attractions like Medieval Times or maybe something in the city, Millennium Park.
But absolutely.
So then who is this conversation for? Is it for people in North Carolina that are coming to Chicago? Or are we talking about people in the Chicago area just taking advantage of these things?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I mean, we certainly get quite a bit of a drive-in market out here in the suburbs. This is happening nationwide, though. Again, this is folks are going to come out and they're going to want to explore the destination. So obviously, if there's a flight involved, a tourism bureau such as ours is going to want to try and get in front of those travelers beforehand. Right. So we work with the meeting and event producers who are putting on the events and make sure that our tourism bureau website links through so they can see where they're visiting and what there is to do. And it's a great thing for the hotel community because, for example, it brings people in who might not have come otherwise. January, February, not a strong tourism month in Chicagoland overall. But if they're coming for a conference, maybe they do decide to stay. And if they're staying with us, they'll certainly go into the city for a day and enjoy all there is to do in Chicago as well.
Got it. So you are Meet Chicago Northwest. So then when they land at O'Hare or Midway, you want them to explore the hotels and activities in the northwest part of the metro. What towns are we talking about? What are the destinations?
We represent eight communities on the northwest side of O'Hare Airport. So Arlington Heights, Elk Grove Village, Itasca, Schaumburg, and the surrounding communities. So we work with all the hotels and the restaurants, over 700 restaurants in the area. And that's where we would love to have those people come visit and enjoy.
So you're talking about the big mall, which you mentioned. You mentioned medieval times. Well, but you'd love to see the Bears go to Arlington Heights, huh?
You know it. Yes, I'm the biggest cheerleader out there for that.
What do you have? You have any insight on that, by the way? That just seems to be up in the air right now.
Well, they still own the land, so that's pretty encouraging. We stand ready. Given the infrastructure that we do have in place with regards to the 63 hotels, we've got about 9,200 sleeping rooms in the community, dozens of major attractions, and then, of course, the ease of access to both the city as well as O'Hare. We are very excited about this opportunity and stand ready to engage in any way that we can. I know there's a lot of financial decisions being made above my pay grade, and that's okay, but we're excited about the opportunity. And it's certainly put Arlington Heights as a community on a national stage and as a beautiful destination, and we're happy for that as well.
Okay, so I'm reading a list of leisure activities, places, or things.
Yes.
Trickster Cultural Center. Why do I not know what that is? What's the Trickster Cultural Center?
It is a hidden gem. It is in Schaumburg, and it is a Native American cultural center, and it is just a beautiful little museum that has worked with the Field Museum in curating some of their spaces. These are the kinds of things that we promote when people come to our websites and are looking at a destination that they're coming to for business trip or whatever reason, or youth amateur sports. We do quite a bit of that. We want them to go beyond the Google search. They come into our website and they're able to discover places that might not have the money for search engine optimization, right? And they can discover some of these places. And Trickster Cultural Center is one of those hidden gems that we love to promote.
And then there's just a bunch of restaurants like Chicago Prime and Teka Sushi and Johnny's Beef. And then there's a lot of nightlife places, including Improv Chicago. If folks want to just explore this, where do we send them then? ChicagoNorthwest.com, right?
Absolutely. That's the website. And we would encourage you to visit any Tourism Bureau website whenever you're out and about and traveling on business. It really leads to or lends itself for a really wonderful work-life balance. It helps the employees avoid burnout, and it's a cost savings because you've already got that airfare paid for. Yeah. It's a beautiful setup. It's a win-win for everybody.
Heather Larson's the president and CEO of Meet Chicago Northwest. Nice to talk to you. Good idea, Heather. Thanks for your help today.
Me.
You betcha. More business news now with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The new $5 meal deal at McDonald's is paying dividends. The discounted meal has led to a modest increase in visits to U.S. stores, just as the burger chain had hoped. According to new data, traffic at McDonald's stores began picking up in late May and continued through June. Customers who make less than $40,000 a year made the most visits between May and June. McDonald's had previously said that slowing demand among that demographic was hurting its bottom line. McDonald's had planned for the $5 meal deal to be a limited promotion, but franchise owners voted to extend it. The U.S. Labor Department is reviewing a sick leave policy change at Chicago-based United Airlines. The company now requires flight attendants to provide a doctor's note if they call in sick on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. The Labor Department will determine whether it runs afoul of federal rules outlined in the Family and Medical Leave Act. United notified employees of the change earlier this month because of what the airline described as a significant increase in sick calls over summer weekends. Bloomberg reported those sick calls had increased as much as 23%. The policy change requires workers to visit a doctor in person to get a note. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Okay, now the business of food, and Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you, and it's a Mr. Fizz Friday. Hey, Jim Fizzell, gardening guru. What's up, Mr. Fizz?
Well, you know what?
What?
August reminds us that the summer is beginning to wane.
Oh, no, don't start that already.
I hate to think of that, but August 5 is the midpoint of summer. Plenty of hot weather is still possible. In fact, I think this coming week they're predicting that most of the week is going to be in the mid-90s, which is really something. I'll talk just real quickly a little bit about water and watering.
Hold on before you do that. Let me thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Okay, Mr. Fizz, what's up with the water?
We got a little bit of water this past week, not much, but 2 weeks ago we got 3 inches of rain in 3 days. We dried out quite a bit after that 3 inches of rain, because once you begin percolation, good percolation in the soil, the water moves down, but it pulls in air behind it, so the soil dries out very quickly. So if you're in one of those spots where we have not gotten water this week, you need to get out and do some watering. Your gardens and your lawn need an inch of water a week, and your trees need about 2 inches of water. You don't need to run your sprinkler any more than that, and certainly don't run it in the rain. A lot of stuff to do out in the garden right now. With this hot weather, it's going to be a good idea to get out there early in the day before it gets too hot, because it's not good for you to be out in that heat. It's also not very good for the plants, and they don't want you working on them. It's time to trim hedges, especially the evergreens. If you don't have a real good eye to trim hedges, you need to run a string or two to have a guide so that when you cut the plants are even. Also, keep the hedge narrower at the top than it is at the bottom, because if you let the top overcome the bottom branches are not going to get enough light, and you're going to lose the leaves that are on them. Then you're going to have a hedge that's got a bush at the top and nothing underneath it. I was out this week and walked through my lawn, and the sod webworms are flying. These are the adult sod webworms, and when they're out there flying like that, they're laying eggs, which will hatch in about 10 days. So you need to wait 10 days to put down any controls. If you don't control them now, you're going to have a lot of damage by fall. This is the time to take care of those little critters.
Thank you, Mr. Fizz. Jim Fizzell, our gardening guru. On the food calendar, today is National Bagel Fest Day. It's also National Coffee Milkshake Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Governor Pritzker has allocated $500 million from state funds for quantum research, whatever that means. And listen to this, $300 million of those dollars are set to go towards a facility on the south side, the Southworks campus. Let's talk a little bit about all of this, at least for a few minutes anyway. It's good news. Kyle Schultz, Chief Growth Officer at World Business Chicago. Hi, Kyle.
Happy Friday, John. Thanks for having me on.
Where exactly is that, the Southworks?
Southworks is the former U.S. Steel site, and for this project, PsiQuantum, and the campus, it'll be essentially located at 87th Street and Lakeshore Drive.
Wow. Okay, cool. Right on the lake, and that would be just, what, is that a little further south than the U of C then, right?
Yes. You're about a 15-minute drive from the University of Chicago, about an 8-minute drive from where the Obama Presidential Center will be. It's on, for anyone who wants to go and see what it currently looks like, you can plug into your GPS this weekend. Steelworkers Park, there is a beautiful redeveloped park that is built where the U.S. Steel factory used to be. And it's our hope that with this announcement and this investment, we will transition that site from what stood as 20th century economy into what will represent the 21st and 20th century economy with quantum.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. That's sweet. But I wonder then, what would the campus be? Is it a government building? Is it private sector economics that go into there? What happens?
Yeah, the beauty about this opportunity is it was everyone coming together. It was government, it was private sector, it was university, all coming to make sure that Illinois and now Chicago would be the undisputed capital for quantum. And so what you will see on the campus as it begins to take shape is that PsiQuantum, who is one of the leading companies in the quantum computing world, they will build the first utility scale fault tolerant quantum computer, which just means that this computer is going to be able to crank out solutions to massive problems that our society and communities face at a pace that modern computers, the ones that are in front of us on every day, can't keep up with. But there'll also be a place for other startups to come in and perfect their innovation. There will be a shared cryo facility, which is what allows quantum computers to work at the performance that they do by keeping the photons and qubits cold. And then there will be additional investment that we know will be attracted as this begins to be developed.
They said something like 175,000 jobs. That sounds a little pie in the sky to me. What's realistic here?
Yes, I'm glad you are setting us in realism. The initial expectation, PsiQuantum, who will be the anchor tenant for this campus and who is the person who and the company that really helped us coalesce around this idea, they'll create an initial 250 jobs. But over time, we expect as quantum becomes more and more part of our day-to-day lives, and we think that'll happen within the next decade, you'll start to see job numbers that are up in the 100,000 because this should be transforming the economy as we know it.
And what we're essentially talking about here is faster computers, right?
And faster computers that have the ability to tackle more problems at once. I, by no means, am a quantum scientist, a quantum mathematician. I've watched the movie Oppenheimer about 24 times, so I could be at least somewhat conversant in this space.
Yeah.
But if you want to think about a computer, it uses zeros and ones. So you think of a 25-cent quarter. Say the head represents a zero, the tail side represents a one. Our computers use that in specific code and specific language to understand the problems. What quantum computing will do, will take that 25-cent quarter, but instead of using a heads or tails, it'll allow it to spin, it'll allow it to flip. A quantum computer allows us, because at its core, it is at the basic foundation of science, to really get into and explore as many possibilities for problems that we are seeking to answer.
Is there a number that jumps out at you, like calculations per second or something like that? I like your analogy. I think that's helpful, Kyle, but any
Thank
other
you.
Way for me to appreciate the vastness of this or the speed?
Yeah, it'll be about 1,000 times more powerful than the computers that exist today.
Okay, that works. Because, frankly, it's pretty amazing to me that I type in something and bing, it appears. If it can go 1,000 times faster than that, I'm all in, particularly since they do think it will help for medical research and other things like that. So this is good news. Kyle Schultz, Chief Growth Officer, World Business Chicago. Okay, Kyle, keep us posted on this. Thanks for your time.
Happy weekend, John. Thanks for having me on.